All right, let's start. Thank you for the interaction. Yeah, my name is Peter, like you said, and I'm from the AOX team. Two sessions earlier, there was this GeoTIFF.js, so I don't need to introduce the company. And well, basically, we'll be introducing how the idea of data processing can be pushed to like another level to create larger data sets faster and more efficient than before. Some of you might know me under S-Cartography, which kind of first started that I wanted to create a big satellite image of every city in the world. It's not yet finished, but with the AOX team, I kind of make a move, a step forward. And last year, I was a part of the team that created the Sentinel S2 maps.eu. And that was creating a Sentinel-2 cloudless global mosaic of the whole world. So I probably got the whole city thing covered. So every capital in the world mapped, done. And since I haven't seen Bucharest on any images here in the conference, I've made some mosaic from the last 10 days or something. This is NDWI and mixed with a regular RGB image just for the impression that it can be done on the fly. And this takes like a couple of minutes till it's generated. So that's it. Here is the outline of my presentation. First, I will talk about software and processing a bit, how it's done, and what does it take to kind of create it, to create a global map of the whole world in like in a reasonable time. Then I have a couple of examples from Sentinel-1, then the crop classification we are working on, and Sentinel-2 Austria monthly mosaics, which means every month you get an image of Austria, just like, you know, that planet or stuff, and et cetera. So a map is always useful. So we have two product types. One is the viewing products, which are like basically for as a GIS background layer. This is like the most selling product because most of the people don't want to do anything with data. They just want to see the world with their own eyes in the like best possible way. So we are offering just the GIS layer, and you can like open it in QGIS. It's just a bit of large, but it's a whole world with 10 meter resolution, which is perfect. The second part is the data. We are storing, or we are generating and storing any bands of the Sentinels. We could do a Landsat extension, shouldn't be a problem. And it can be even like another imagery. It doesn't have to be Sentinel at all. And the data for analysis is like, I will be showing the example of the crop type classification. It can be done with the mosaics or with the data read directly from AWS bucket or Diasys. We are currently working in Dias Mundi, but extensions could be made probably in a couple of months. So what does it mean for us, level 3 data? It means the data is reduced to some to a result which is a lot less than it was before. So you get rid of the clouds, you get rid of the speckle and salt and pepper stuff, and you get just the data you ordered, which means that for us, the level 3, there's a notion that we could try to go for the cart for all from the official version of the level 3 or for level 2 data. And level 3, but every customer in the market wants something else. So for instance, the first example I have is for ESA. There was a specific requirement for Sentinel-1 processing to be done exactly how they wanted it. Then the last example is for an office in Austria, and they had their own vision how the results should look like. And so it shifts from customer to customer. There is no clear definition for us there, because whenever somebody comes, then we provide him with the data as is. How are we doing it? It's cluster-based processing. We spawn like monitoring process with Rabbit, and then make Docker cluster and assign the workers to this cluster. The Rabbit monitors kind of the progress, and it runs on multiple machines on the AWS or any cloud infrastructure we any cloud infrastructure. Like you can see, we are utilizing, we have utilized three of those so far with the Cloudflare. That was the 2017 campaign. That was kind of like, the experience was kind of limited. So we are working on AWS and on Dias Mundi on Open Telecom Cloud. So software is based on, it's everything's done in Python here most of the time, except for the JavaScript stuff. So it's Python, and the tool is called MapCede, which is style-based processing that takes the input, the Sentinel-2 imagery, and does some magic, any magic you want. You can bind it. You can bind to the process. For instance, the Orfero 2 works would be possible. SkyKit image, SkyKit learn, or your own functions. It's based on NumPy arrays, or the reading is based on NumPy arrays, so you can input any kind of data you want. You can even open parallel TIFFs and shapefiles, which means if you need clipping or information from a shapefile, it can go along with it, and you can open it with Fiona directly in the process, and you can process shape files or vector data and raster data parallel with your custom Python script. Generating NDVI would be probably the easiest example. I've also managed to bind to it ESA Snap Tubos, the famous one. Yeah, it works, but it's not pretty. So and it's not fault of the tools of the MapCede, for instance. It's just that the bindings from Snap Toolbox, there's a Jython bridge, is not working properly. And for the previews and the images, I'm using an adapted version of the GeoTIFF.js library in its early version, and it reads the tile directories and renders it on the fly, like we saw in the first two presentations of this session. Yeah, so you can feed it anything, and you can feed it anything, and basically anything can come out depending on the definition. So let's start with the example one. This one was done for ESA. It's a Sentinel-1, 14 days mosaics of 2018 for the whole year. So we have 26 mosaics. The data set is pretty large. It has nine bands with regular statistics, average, minimum, maximum, standard deviation, and count of the acquisitions over the area. So this is the scope of the project. The output has roughly 5 or 6 terabytes. And it's the full resolution of the Sentinel-1, which means resample, it's roughly 10 meters. Yeah, we've calculated. The data is the gamma zero, which is the terrain flattened backscatter, dual polarized, and the values that are stored are floats, which isn't optimal. But for the render, I'm already rendering it then in the 8-bit GeoTIFF, so the preview is a bit faster. Here you can see the GIF with the 26 weeks over the area. So basically, there's even some interferences, but it works. It's a lot of data. It can be accessed for free quite easily, especially with the MapCede. And you can do anything you want. You can do classification based on the Sentinel-1 time series, where you have 26 measurements for the whole year, which is quite a lot for the whole country. Here's where you can access the data. It's for everyone. The preview works, and yeah, it might change because it's like still most under development some things, but it probably won't. So you can just, if you know that the tile matrix or the tile structure of WMTS, then you can kind of figure out how to get to the data. It's all described in the MapCede and tile matrix GitHub repository. So let's move to the other example. Now we are working on the crop type classification based on the data, on mosaic data, and on the real time series without the mosaic. And so we are reading the data, making X-arrays from it, interpolating in between, and get a nice data set for for crop tag classification utilizing the Sentinel-1 and Sentinel-2. Yeah, the Sentinel-1 are the mosaics like we've just saw, so, and it's been done for Austria. We are utilizing EOLearn, the scikit-learn, MapChat, and X-Ray infrastructure. So the result looks something like this. This is the classification validity, which means that the red fields were classified wrongly. The yellow ones or the orange ones is the training data set, so they don't count into it. And I haven't put the percentage in it because you probably can see that it's roughly, yeah, it's something over 90%. So you can see that for yourself. Then there's the confidence, which is also good. The confidence says how good the predicted label of the crops is. So here the prediction for the larger field or for most of the fields is excellent as well. There are a few examples that are not that great. It's mostly like mixed cultures and stuff that doesn't really fit in. And now to the classification itself. The purple one is, for instance, wine, and it works it works really well. With the, we have to say that with the data set, what helped to improve the classification significantly was adding the Sentinel-1 data set to it, because we tried it just with Sentinel-2, but that's just like for the correction of the NDVI structure, but the data, the time series, it should be included with Sentinel-1. Here is how then the NDVI of different crops looks like, and yeah, for potatoes and cereals, and that's basically what from the Sentinel-2 information can be extracted. And the last example was a custom processing in a custom grid in Gauss-Kruger. Map coordinate system that's with the center over eastern Austria. That's why the rectangle is somewhat weird. And the result, again, this was a viewing product, so we mixed a couple of mosaics together so there are no holes. And we've added the near infrared channel to the data, so we have now the pretty nice. Quite nice mosaic of Austria for the last year with four channels and even the extra information of the index, which points to the original scenes, which is then stored in the header of the geotiffs, and the index then kind of just points out to the header, which has the ID and the timestamp of the acquisition. Yeah, so apparently it works because yeah, there's some snow and then it's melting and the fields are changing. So everybody's happy with it, and it can be used as a nice background layer, which based on Sentinel data. For extended usage, there's no problem to add more bands to it, oversample them to the 10 meters, or upsample or just keep it at the lower resolution for the 60 and 20 meter resolution channels. Yeah, that's basically probably it. Yeah, this is the NDVI for fields not far from Vienna, so it changes. And the nice thing about the selection method of the pixels is that the fields mostly remain uniform, which means that they are mostly not like, there are like some fields that have mixed pixels, but otherwise it's kind of like, the field is like whole, which is nice. And obviously we are just going for the like subtle changes, like in the examples before. So there, for us, with the tools at hand, with the MapChatty, it's possible to do anything with any raster or vector data set that's been feed into the system, and it outputs, again, the custom script you will be writing. So it's up to you what you will be writing in the Python script. It doesn't even have to have a standardized output of the MapChatty itself. You can write temporary files out of it or some custom files parallel to the process. So you have then for every single tile an extra information if you need it. It's almost limits us in that sense because the functions are like open. Yeah, we have the Denmark mosaic, the Sentinel-2 global map, we have Belgium coherence, the Lithuanian backscatter has been done at the beginning of this week, which is not public yet, and we are hoping to extend our data infrastructure as much as possible, and let's see. And what's also a next step, hopefully soon, the even Cloudrasser 2019 mosaic. The extent is unknown yet, but it most likely will be a global cover again, but who knows. Here are the links to the previews that are currently available. The crop type classification, there is like a small demo project that we are working on to kind of help to visualize it. And the link to the Austria mosaic, to the office in Burgenland, etc. The data, once again, it's free and open to everybody. So as long as you will use it non-commercially, you can use it however you want if you can access it. So there are the links. So thank you very much for your attention. This was the last talk. So.
I'm not sure if maybe you say you talked about that, but how do you?
Hey, so I'm not sure if you said it, but how do you select the pixel?
I mentioned it just shortly. It was on the slide, so the pixel selection.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, can you give me? I really need it, but
no, it's the recording. Yeah.
So the pixel selection, the most simple one is maximum NDVI search. Then we have some others, like depending on the brightness of the pixels and some statistics, like you can do weighted average, etc. And then there's even one more complicated one, which follows a linear model around NDVI. And for the Sentinel-1, I have even a thing I've done in STEC, which goes to modeling of the backscatter based on the incidence angle. So there are a lot of approaches how to address that.
So for the Cloud3 composite, is there a window that you are searching, or are you using the whole? And the other question is whether you are building some kind of index or data structure that allows you to pick the Cloud3 pixels faster, or do you just load the data, build the mosaic, then drop everything and move on to the next date?
So basically, in this scenario, it's the one and the same question. It's pixel based, so it goes pixel per pixel, and it's implemented in Cython, so it goes extremely fast. For the pixel search and statistics computing. So, and the index, as it goes faster, the Cython thing, it makes things much easier and faster, much faster. That's it.
Do you use the SCL bands for cloud detection, or do you have your own algorithm for detecting clouds?
You mean the classification? We've used that at some point, and I've gave up on it because the scene classification of level 2 from the ESA isn't that great, because there are buildings that are clouds, water bodies that are shadows, etc. So it filters actually more than it should, and with the monthly composites, it's you really need every bit of information. So we have a custom mask for it, which detects clouds, shadows, etc. So if you want to do something like that, you have to play around a bit and see which values are really good for the cloud detection, etc. But we are not using this SLC cover because it's the accuracy of it is a bit terrible, or not great. it's usable for the fields because it usually has a good vegetation, like, the vegetation is quite good, but for the other objects, it's not that great. Like I said, buildings are quite an issue, and water bodies. Otherwise, I can show a bit like how it looks like in the preview, which is the link you've just saw. So this is the Denmark thing. There is a coherence and backscatter with the fields even, and yeah. If I manage to select a layer, which would be nice. Yeah, nice, it's working. Then it's rendered basically on the fly. And it uses like older version of the geotiff.js, and it has 9 bands. And originally I used floats for storing and rendering, but the small tiles, they had like 30 megabytes each. So it was downloading 200 megabytes every time I switched the layer, which wasn't ideal. That is probably the limit of the geotiff.js at some point, that you just have too much things downloading to the client, but that's the fault of the data, not the rendering. And you can on the fly render like any location with the dense time series. So with the statistics, there is a possibility to see ships and stuff. All right. It tells me I should let you go to the gala dinner and have some food and drinks, right? Yeah. Hour? 4 minutes? All right, then I can show you the ships probably.
Maybe.
Yeah. So this is the minimum in the cross channel and the vertical horizontal polarization. And if you switch then to the maximum, there should be something going on. If it switches, max. Voila, that's not the cross channel. Now it's a cross channel, and there are like small white points, which are shapes there to be seen. So from this time series, you have 9 bands. Each of them has a different information of the time period, so you can filter out and use, for instance, just the average or the minimum or the maximum, and that decides for you if you kind of like want, for instance, the objects in the river or not. All right. And if you don't know our s2maps.eu, it's quite a nice map, and there's even a WMTS endpoint for free to use it in your GIS system as a background layer, which is quite nice to have. Thank you very much. I think we can conclude it.